In the second week of Lent, we start with the vision of glory on Mount Tabor, and then we continue the journey with the awareness of Jesus' identity and also our own call to be glorified, which is at the same time a recognition of our unworthiness to be glorified. I remember the image used by Bishop Barron. I don't know if he's the originator of it, but it comes to my mind in connection to his name. He points out why the saints have such a keen awareness of their own unworthiness, whereas sinners, or people who are not interested in conversion, they don't think that badly of themselves. And the image he used was, if you're driving in a car, and it's at night, and you're driving along, you can see through the windshield, until you face oncoming lights. And that's when all the dirt and the imperfections on your windshield get in the way, and you can't see. So, in other words, facing the light is what exposes all the sins. So the more it's kind of ironic, it might seem ironic to us, but this is how it works. The more we draw close to God, the more we recognize our sin, not the less. The more we see how unworthy we are and how important it is to keep up the battle against sin. Well, I bring this up because yesterday's readings and today's readings address this issue of sin. In yesterday's first reading, it was Daniel, a reading from the book of Daniel, which was an acknowledgement, a profound acknowledgement of sin. We are shamefaced to this day. We haven't obeyed your commandments, and we never do. So that was Daniel. But in today's first reading, we go to the prophet Isaiah, and this time it's not the people acknowledging their sin. It's God pointing out the sins of the people. And it's an ugly scene. Hear the word of the Lord, princes of Sodom. Listen to the instruction of our God, people of Gomorrah. Sodom and Gomorrah are the classic examples of wickedness, of sin. So God, this is what God sees when he looks at us, when he looks at our sins. He sees really an ugly mess. Now, we have a bit of a difficulty with this because as we go along, especially if we're religious people and come to daily mass, it seems to us that we're just not that bad. But that's how it strikes us after a while, because now maybe we had sins in the past, but we went to confession and we know God forgives, and so now we just have our little sins, and that's how we talk about them, our little sins, everyday sins. And so we have this tendency to minimize the significance of sin, to the point where either it doesn't seem significant at all, or we just think we're better than other people are. And that kind of self-righteousness is the very danger that Jesus addresses in today's gospel. That's the trap of the scribes and the Pharisees. Scribes and the Pharisees are very willing to point out other people's sins, but they're not particularly honest about their own sins. Remember what Jesus said a couple of days ago. Unless your holiness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall not enter the kingdom. So that condition of self-righteousness is really an obstacle to salvation. Now, as I was reflecting on this, I thought of this story from the apparitions of Our Lady of Fatima. I turn to this once in a while. It came to my mind because of the issue of sin and how serious it is. This is the first apparition, May 13th, 1917. It's three shepherds, 10 years old, 9 years old, 7 years old. I mean, young children, just taking care of their sheep, I guess. And then all of a sudden, Mary appears and takes them quite a bit by surprise. And she says, you know, don't be afraid, I'm not going to harm you. And then Lucia, who's the spokesgirl, I don't want to say spokeswoman, but she's the spokesman for the group. And she says, where are you from? I love it, it's childlike. And the lady says, I'm from heaven. And then Lucia says, well, what do you want of me? And the lady says, come every month for 6 months. Okay. And then Lucia, you can imagine her child mind saying, well, you're somebody from heaven. Let me figure out how this is going to work for me. Will I go to heaven too? And The lady says, yes, she will. What about Jacinta? Yeah, she'll go to heaven too. What about Francisco? He will go there too, but he must say many rosaries. So here's a 9-year-old boy whose holiness is not quite up to snuff. He has to say many rosaries. So it's only 9 years old. So the reason I bring this up is because our tendency to minimize sin, it makes it seem as if they're not significant. What kind of sins does a 9-year-old boy have? Well, then it goes on. Because Lucia remembers some others, two girls who had died recently. They were friends of mine, she says. And they used to come to my house to learn weaving with my eldest sister. Is Maria das Neves in heaven? The lady says, yes, she is. And Lucia said, I think she was about 16 years old. I say, okay, 16-year-old went to heaven. And Amelia? This is the shocker. The lady says, this is Our Lady of Fatima, says she will be in purgatory until the end of the world. Now, I remember, I didn't have time to find the commentaries on this, but this one really disturbed the theologians, because here's a 10-year-old girl. How old is this Amelia, and what did she do that would be so bad? Turns out she was between 18 and 20 years old. So by the time we're 18 or 20, we're certainly capable of some very serious sins. And when it says she will be in purgatory to the end of the world, that expression, according to this footnote, says could mean a long time, in their language, a long time. And then the theologian said, well, is this enough? Is this really a message from heaven? Because why would that be? And then Lucia answered, well, one mortal sin will eliminate your whole possibility of salvation. And certainly an 18 or 20-year-old is capable of committing a mortal sin. So, and also, when the news of the apparitions spread, people started to pray for Amelia. And by now, I mean, Amelia probably got out of purgatory, because how many masses and prayers have been said for Amelia? Anyway, the reason I bring this up is because it reminds us of the seriousness of sin, which is something we don't always take seriously. It becomes part of our routine, even when we start the Mass and we pray the Confiteor, which is a very beautiful prayer. I confess to Almighty God and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have greatly sinned. I have greatly sinned. It's not just little sins. I'm a sinner, and when I'm looking through the windshield at the Lord, I see a lot of dirt. Through my most grievous fault. Why do we say that? Because it really is grievous. Okay, so that's where we start today. I mean, it's not, as I said yesterday, our awareness of our own sin doesn't start with us looking at sin. It starts with grace from God and enough confidence in God to be able to do this kind of self-examination. Otherwise, we would never do it. We would say, I just don't want to think about it. But as we draw close to God and we see the dirt on the windshield, we say, well, this is more serious than I thought. I have to do something about it. That's where we're humbled, because what can we do about it? I can't even clean the windshield. I'm in here and the dirt's there and I can't get to it. Anyway, what I love is in this reading from Isaiah, it's the very first chapter of Isaiah. After the Lord points out to them that they're like Sodom and Gomorrah, he says, wash yourselves clean. What does he urge the people to do? Put away misdeeds, cease doing evil, learn to do good. That's a kind of generic, be good. And then very specific things. Make justice your aim, redress the wronged, hear the orphan's plea, defend the widow. This is what we would consider in the category of almsgiving. In other words, get out of yourself and take care of people who have real needs. And then, this beautiful set of verses from the Lord now, come now, let us set things right, says the Lord. This is beautiful. As soon as we're willing to acknowledge that we're sinners, God offers us a way out. Come now, let us set things right. You don't have to clean yourself up. Let's do this together. Cooperate with me here, the Lord is saying. Though your sins be like scarlet, they may become white as snow. No matter how dirty your windshield is, it can be made clean. Though they be crimson red, they may be white as wool, if you're willing and obey. Okay, this is, see, the Lord saying, I'm offering you a solution to this problem. It's a worse problem than you thought, but the solution is better than you thought. Remember that famous line of St. Paul, where sin has abounded, grace has abounded all the more. So don't minimize sin, be straight about it, be honest about it. But at the same time, recognize no matter how bad it is, grace abounds all the more. There's a better solution than any sin. The trap of the scribes and Pharisees, again, going to today's gospel, the trap is, I'm sitting on the chair of Moses, I have authority, I'm an expert at this, I know the law, I don't fall into the sins that those people fall into, or if I ever did, it's a long time ago, and don't lay that kind of guilt trip on me. I'm a good person. That's self-righteousness. I'm a good person. No, I'm not talking about self-condemnation or self-rejection in such a way that you get into these unhealthy patterns of rejecting our own goodness. But I am trying to cut into this tendency to self-righteousness, because this is the trap for religious people. The trap of the Pharisees is that they're, even though they're, yes, they have authority and they speak the truth about the law, their preaching is accurate, but they don't practice what they preach. They're just words. They're not witnesses. And Jesus says, your holiness has to surpass them. And the only way it can, the only way our holiness can surpass that is to take a good, hard look at sin, acknowledge it, and turn to the Lord in mercy. Humble ourselves before God. We have to do this. If we think we have a case to make before God, He's going to humble us. What does it say at the end of today's gospel? Whoever exalts himself will be humbled. But whoever humbles himself will be exalted. Lent is for us to humble ourselves so that we will look like Jesus on the mountaintop, so that we will be transfigured. That's what God wants to do for us. If we just don't get in the way of it and exalt ourselves, if we humble ourselves, God will exalt us. That's the great promise. It's the joy of pursuing the Lenten journey.